blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us continue with the singing of Psalter 94, stanzas 3 and 4. With the abundance of thy house we shall be satisfied. From rivers of unfailing joy our thirst shall be supplied. 3 and 4 of Psalter 94.
Scripture reading for this afternoon will be from Genesis 21, the first 21 verses. But let us first read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 21, the first 21 verses. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah was the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed, and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us next read the form for the administration of baptism, which you can find on page 126 in the back of your Psalter book. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our soul is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we, by God through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony, that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God spake unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led Thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech Thee, and that Thou wilt be pleased of Thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by Thy Holy Spirit into Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with Him into His death, and be raised with Him in newness of life, that they may daily follow Him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto Him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of Thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ Thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with Thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now ask the parents who desire to have their children baptized to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and unto our seed His covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and are therefore subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of His church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Whether you promise and intend, thirdly, to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Janssen? Father and Mother Grisnick? Father and Mother Nordegraff, Father and Mother Van Driesten. Dear parents, the Apostle Paul says that Abraham had two sons. The one was of the bondwoman, and the other was of the free woman. And he said that he which was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he that was born of the free woman was by promise. And then he says that he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. That is now what we just read together here. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which was born unto Abraham mocking. He that was born after the flesh was persecuting him that was born after the spirit. And Paul says this is an allegory, it was history. But he says it was meant, that was in God's providence, that was all the history has taken place in that way, that it would be allegorized, that there would be another meaning that was attached to this history, because Paul says, even so it is now. He says that was happening in the churches of Galatia. He was speaking to the Galatians, where there were Judaizers, and those Judaizers were persecuting those simple Christians, and those who had come in from among the Gentiles and said that they had to keep the ceremonial law and that they had to be circumcised. And thus the Apostle Paul says to them, and that they gloried in the flesh, that was in their circumcision, that was in their outward keeping of the law. But he says, you are not glorying in the meaning. You look not to the meaning of what you do and the sacraments of the Lord. Ishmael and Isaac were both circumcised. Baptism, that is an institution of the Lord, and that has a sign, has an outward sign. But that outward sign has a spiritual meaning. But we are so carnal that we so often do end in that outward sign. And now when we read about Ishmael and Isaac, how that they were both circumcised, then we must say that that circumcision meant to them a very different things. It was the same circumcision, but they did not see the same thing in that circumcision. For Ishmael, that was a proof, we might say, that he was son of Abraham, and God gave to him a promise that was only actually because he was a son of Abraham. And that promise had to do with temporal things. That is actually all that Ishmael desired. And so in that promise, Ishmael received what he desired. But for Isaac, that circumcision meant something very, very different. It was a sign of a very, very different promise. That looked to things that were so much higher. And Isaac in his life was given to desire those blessings and that the Lord had already given to him through that covenant that the Lord had established with his father. And thus, we have a very great difference between these two men. You say, where does that desire come from that God gave Isaac? There was a desire, you say, that came from God. I can't give that to myself. I cannot give that to my children. That is true. But the Lord uses means. And what are those means? One of them is you. Do you believe that? One of those means that the Lord is using for the conversion of his people are sometimes a father and a mother. That is what we read here too. Because we read here that Ishmael was mocking that child of promise, and whose example of pride and arrogancy was Ishmael following? Was that not the example of his own mother? And thus we see the place that the Lord gives you as parents in the life of your own children for the welfare, even of their souls, not also only of their bodies, but also of their souls. And thus, when you will now approach here this afternoon unto this font, this baptism font, then let us have all carnality flee away, and all glorying in the flesh, that now my child, as I, it will be baptized, that all carnality would flee away, and that you would approach in these moments unto this blessed font, a font of water which has, you know, such a higher meaning, with that same desire and prayer for you and for your children, as we read of that leper who did say, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Congregation, while the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 425, the fourth stanza. 425, the fourth stanza. And after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. 425, stanza 4, "Ye seed from Abraham descended, to whom his favors were extended, and Jacob's children, whom the Lord has chosen, hearken to his word. He is the Lord, our judge divine, and all the earth his glory shine." 425, stanza 4. Zariah Alexandra Fay, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Naomi Cornelia J., I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Prairie Rose, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Ryan Darcy, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Brielle Magdalena, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee in that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee, and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, and the one only true God, and that they may also look with that true faith, which thou alone can plant into their heart continually, to him who does say, wherefore spend ye money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. O thou declarest unto us that there is a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness, to the house of Jacob and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, or that we may be given all together in these moments round about this fountain, to behold him of whom it is written in thy word, there is a river, and the streams whereof do make glad the city of God. O grant unto those who are despondent that they may be given open eyes to behold thee in thy sacrament and in the preaching of thy holy word, and that there may be continually meat and drink thereby in thy house, in the house of God, that thou may provide for us, that we may be enabled to bring forth things new and old out of that law. But Lord, thou knowest also what does so stand in our way. Oh, by nature we will not bow before thee, who sayest only acknowledge thine iniquity, and that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. Only acknowledge that thou hast scattered thy ways among the strangers under every green tree. Only acknowledge that thou hast not obeyed my voice. Only come in the dust of self-abasement before me. And then my desire is that no man would perish. O Lord, that thou may give in our hearts to draw nigh, even as that Esther of old who did say in all her fears, if I perish, I perish. O give a man to come to thy footstool where no man has ever perished, and where there is sufficiency in that blood of thy dear Son to take away all iniquity. O do help and strengthen these parents in the task that thou hast laid upon them, and give them thy grace, and grant them also the strength and the wisdom, the health. Remember the grandparents, also the great-grandparents. Wilt thou be also with them in this day, that they may have an acknowledging heart. Remember the grandfather who does suffer that serious disease. O Lord, that he may see that his children also may bring up their children to thy house, and that they may be brought into that gate, into that entrance. O Lord, that he may also receive that entrance in his soul, and that he may draw nigh to thy throne of grace, and that thou may bless him. Bless all the efforts that are used for his body, also others, and that do suffer from serious diseases. Wilt thou be on the right and on the left of doctors and all that help them. Also the children, some of them even yet in the womb. Lord, remember our own grandson who is in the hospital far away from us. Or wilt thou heal him in his body, in the infection that is come therein, and that thou may look upon him with his parents in thy mercy? Wilt thou be with us in this afternoon hour, and when we are gathered round thy word of truth? Oh, give us a little strength for the work of our hands. Give us a little opening and an entrance. Give us a voice to speak. Give unto us thy spirit in a rich measure, and that there may be open hearts to receive that word. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 170, all the stanzas. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 170. Congregation, the words of our text for this hour can be found in the portion read to you, Genesis chapter 21, and thereof the first part of the 19th verse. Genesis 21, verse 19a, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water." So far, the words of our text. Water in the wilderness. First, spent water. Second, cries for water. And third, a well of water. Water in the wilderness. First, spent water. Second, cries for water. And third, a well of water. Thus first spent water, we read, and the water was spent in the bottle. You know what that is, congregation? I think, boys and girls, you know what that is too, right? You say, "I have had a bottle of water, and I did drink it, and I finished it, and then the water was gone. It was finished. It was spent in the bottle." Do you say, therefore, that you understand what has now taken place here, where it says, "And the water was spent in the bottle"? I think you will say, no, actually, that is quite different. And why is that quite different? Well, you say, because here we read of persons who are in the wilderness, and thus to miss water in the wilderness, when there is no other water to be gotten, that is, you understand, a very, very serious matter. Whose bottle of water was this? Say, that was Hagar's, that was for Hagar, that was for her son Ishmael. That water was given unto her by Abraham. And now we see her wandering here, it says, in the wilderness of Beersheba with Ishmael, her son. Oh, how suddenly that our condition is able to change in this world. Because it was but a short time ago that Hagar and Ishmael did live and were fed out of that household of Abraham. They were very tenderly cared for by Abraham. And so that everything that was in Abraham's possession and that was enjoyed also by Hagar and by Ishmael. We would say that they were two persons that actually did not know what care was in this world. And suddenly, everything changes. They are now wandering all by themselves. They are now wandering in the wilderness. They are now exposed to cold and to heat. They are exposed to the wild beasts. They're exposed to every kind of need, every kind of lack, and every kind of want. And what brings these two persons into this perilous condition? That is a sad story. That is very well known also to our own children. When Ishmael was around 14 years old, then he has received a brother. Isaac was born. What a great gladness there was in that house. Because we read, Sarah says, who would have said that Sarah would have given children suck? God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Is there not a church also that laughs with Sarah? The Lord congregation is a surprising gong. And then there are sometimes barren Sarahs. They are in that church of God. And they are here and there, unknown, unnoticed, very often. And within that visible church, there they are. And there they are waiting. They are in themselves, they are so barren. And they cannot bring forth that fruit that they desire to bring unto the Lord. Oh, then they are waiting. Oh, it's day by day and service by service, Sabbath by Sabbath, they are coming up. And they have a desire in their soul, and that the Lord would grant unto them a heart of flesh. Oh, that they would be given those true desires and those blessings, and that to belong unto that true people of God. Oh, some of them do become old. Some of them become old in waiting. Some of them, they are looking, and about them, they say, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Just like Sarah. She says, well, maybe we have not Abraham just to wait. Maybe we have Abraham not just to pray. Maybe we have also to put our hand to the work. Maybe we need to be doing something. Maybe they say in their hearts, maybe the Arminians are right. Or because really they have everything, don't they? And they are so happy with everything that they have. And I have nothing. And yet that people, they do not have hands to take like an Arminian. They do not have an Arminian's feet. And therefore they have to wait. And what do they experience then in their life? Oh, they experience just like Sarah. Oh, after a long time of waiting. Oh, then that the Lord is coming. And that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And then with Sarah, the Lord is making them to laugh. That they say, who would have thought that such an one would receive now the things that belong unto the peace of the true people of the Lord. Oh, while Abraham's household is rejoicing with Abraham and with Sarah, oh, then we see two persons. Ah, they are standing a little far away, boys and girls. They are not there enjoying that feast, we would say. Oh, they cannot be happy. Just like everyone else is happy. Who are they? That is Hagar and her son Ishmael. No, they are not glad. On the contrary, that news has filled them with disappointment. And they are filled in their hearts with so much discontent. Because with these new circumstances, all their expectations, they have all been dashed to pieces. In one moment, envy, jealousy is filling their heart. In their heart is living resentment. Hagar was at one time just a household maid. She was just an Egyptian servant girl, humbly serving and also receiving all of the benefits that they were to receive out of that household of Abraham. But hidden in her heart, hidden in her heart, was the same thing that's in your heart and the same thing that is in my heart, because of our fall in paradise, and that is pride that was hidden in that lowly servant girl's heart. And then she just needed one thing, just the circumstances to change a little bit, her position in life to change, and then all the dirt comes out. All the evil that is in our heart that is spilling over. It doesn't change our heart. No, our heart is by those circumstances only exposed. So that other people are able to see it. Expecting a child of Abraham, she will not submit anymore. She will not subject herself. But God reproves her, and she is brought back and under God's hand, as she, at least in an outward way, does show obedience unto her mistress Sarah. But her heart has not changed. For 14 years, as she considers herself to be the heir apparent to all of what is Abraham's. Oh, Sarah, we read, is despised in her eyes. Abraham and Sarah are old. Ishmael, he is going to receive everything. When Abraham dies and Sarah dies, then I am going to be delivered. I will be delivered from my servitude in this world. And I will have that blessed relation to Ishmael of a mother. And he will be a very, very rich man, and he is in himself a free man. And so I also will be free. And so Hagar thinks in her mind, how many airy castles, congregation, do you build in your mind? How many dreams do you have? I'm going to have this in the world. I'm going to have that in the world. I'm going to have prosperity, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to save, I'm going to, and I'm going to get and get. For 14 years, Hagar dreamed. Suddenly, all of her dreams come to an end. Suddenly, Sarah is expecting a son. The water, we read here, was spent in the bottle. No, that was not just immediately. 9 months, Hagar may consider that. 9 months, Hagar may think about this. But 9 months was not enough that Hagar would submit herself and that she would accept what was now before her. There is envy, there is jealousy, and she is not able to hide this envy even from her young son. Everything has now been spoiled, all the expectations, all the dreams, they are now suddenly taken away. Ishmael no longer is going to have the first place here in the life of and household of Abraham. Ishmael was loved by Abraham, but Isaac did not love his younger, or Ishmael did not love his younger brother, Isaac. No, Isaac was to him a competitor. Isaac was to him a rival. That was now the son, that was now the boy, who was going to take everything away from him that he desired. And he couldn't hide that either. He is now 16, 17 years old. Little Isaac, he is beginning to grow. And Isaac is weaned, 2, 3 years old, very often in that time. And thus, that boy, young people, how old are you? You're 16? You're 17? And now that little Isaac, he is 2, he is 3. And then we read that big boy, he is already becoming a young man. He is mocking with this little child. Oh, he cannot hold it in. There is an enmity, and that is living in his heart. Paul says it is an allegory. He says that persecution that continues today, it is a persecution that is not coming to the church from the outside. But it is a persecution which is coming unto the church from the inside. Because Ishmael is also circumcised. Thus the Apostle Paul, he speaks about a carnal religion that is against a soul religion. And then he speaks about a religious haughtiness that is against that simple God-fearing a church. He speaks about what is carnal, that is persecuting, that is coming against that which is spiritual, that is in the church, that is also even within the heart. That is the devil himself that is working the flesh, that is fighting, that is militating, that is contending with the very spirit. Isaac cannot defend himself. He is just a little child. Ishmael is already a big boy. Oh, that is now how that true seed is finding itself. That simple seed. That defenseless seed. That is in that house of God. It is exposed. It is exposed to threats. It is exposed to mockery. That is, as we say, not from the outside, no, from the inside. From the inside of the church. From the inside of their very hearts. Oh, that church congregation has a role. The church has a role of protection. Very similar to Sarah's role. What did Sarah say to Abraham? Ah, she says now that seed, that helpless seed, but that is now the elect of God. That elect of God which is too young, that is too simple to defend itself. Abraham, oh, we have a duty here. We have to protect that seed against the mockery, against the threat, against everything that is coming against it. Cast out Abraham. This bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. God's servants have a duty. God's servants have a duty to distinguish. God's servants have a duty to separate. God's servants have a duty to take forth the precious from the vile, that true seed may be distinguished from that which is not the true seed, and that true seed may also in their helplessness be protected by them. And the water was spent in the bottle. Oh, it could not be that water congregation would last very long. Soon, as they are there wandering in that wilderness, that bottle of water is depleted. And now the distress of these two fugitives deepens, because without water, it is not possible for Ishmael to live. And so that brings us to our second thought, cries for water. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And it is not only written of her, but we read, "And God heard the voice of the lad." Thus it is not only Hagar, but it is also Ishmael who are weeping, who are crying. Is that not something? Hagar and Ishmael are crying. That is something. Because only a short time ago, they were rebelling. Only a short time ago, they were mocking. And now, they are crying. Oh, how quickly our condition can change. Never mock, children. Especially do not mock that true church of God, because the Lord sees it. And the Lord can bring our condition to change in just a moment, that instead of mocking, that we are supplicating, that we are weeping, and that we are crying. "What aileth thee, Hagar?" Who is that? That is the angel of the Lord. And he believed that it is Christ himself calling to Hagar out of heaven. Is that not a wonder? The Lord is never far away. Do we not often sing that? He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. "What aileth thee, Hagar?" How tender. Ah, the Lord is so tender. And when he is coming to a man, to a woman, to a mother, to a child, who are laying there in distress, ah, he is so tender, even to a Hagar, who has instructed her son, whose example he has followed, and even when they have despised, and even when they have mocked, oh, then the Lord is so tender with them, because all of those miseries that we have brought upon ourselves in this world, God's word says the Lord doth not afflict willingly. No, then the Lord is so tender, and the Lord says, "What is it now, Hagar? Will you tell me? Tell me what is living in your heart. What aileth thee, Hagar?" He invites her. He says, "Hagar, oh, you may say it now. You may tell me everything that is laying in your heart. What aileth thee, Hagar?" What would you answer, congregation? What would you say? If the Lord said to you, "What aileth thee?" Because the Lord, he says that to us too. He says, "You may lay it now. Everything that is in your heart, every trouble. Oh, are there sighs? Are there cries? And what is the matter of those sighs and those cries that come up out of your heart? What is it?" What did Hagar say? Congregation, we do not read it. We do not read the answer of Hagar to this tender invitation. You know, it would be so good to read. Oh, if we would read that in the Word of God. If it would say there then, oh, Hagar. And she opened her mouth. And she said, oh, Lord, I've sinned. I've sinned. Oh, Lord, I've done what was evil in thy most holy sight. Oh, Lord, my son, I've led him in the wrong way. Oh, to despise was in my heart. He saw that in my life. And now look where he has gone. And then he was mocking. Oh, Lord, he was mocking those most holy things. They were the things of God. They were the things of thee. They were the things of thy own covenant. Oh, would that not be so refreshing? In congregation, not one word. Not one word. No answer. What aileth thee? Why did they weep? Why did they cry? Because the water was spent in the bottle. That is why. Is that all we can cry about? Is that now the only thing that we can get one tear to come out of our eyes about? Because that water is spent in the bottle. Because my life is done. And because I have to die. And I don't want to die. And I don't want to leave my loved ones. Oh, congregation, can we not get one tear more? One tear more. Out of our heart. That I have sinned. Against the holy. A righteous and a good doing God. Let us sing a moment. 217. 1-4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1-4 of Psalter 217.
Thank you.
First, spent water. Second, cries for water. Third, a well of water. What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Who can fathom, congregation, the long suffering of the Lord? The Lord appears unto Hagar, and the Lord gives unto Hagar a promise. That promise concerns her son Ishmael. Did you ever receive a promise from the Lord? Say, what does that mean today? The Lord does not speak out of heaven that way. No. But did the Lord ever give power to his word in your soul? Did the Lord ever give light and liberty? Did the Lord ever give that word may go deep down into your soul? So Hagar, she receives a promise. And what was that promise? That is the second time. And that the Lord spoke this promise to her. When that child was in the womb, then the Lord spoke to her concerning that child. And now the Lord repeats that promise to her. He says, I will make him a great nation. She has to look at him. She has to take him in her arms. He is withering away. He is dying. And the Lord says, hold him for a moment, Hagar, and believe me that my word is as good now as it was before. In your distress, Ishmael shall not die. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad to drink. That well was there before. She did not see it. Her eyes are holding. And why does the Lord hold her eyes? A congregation, the Lord will humble her. The Lord needs to bring a man down. He needs to take away from us everything wherein we are lifting ourselves up. And so he is also doing here with Hagar. And then the Lord is taking those scales off of her eyes. He is opening her eyes that she may see that which she did not see before. Did you ever see what you did not see before? He does that for her in her great distress. Oh, that water. That was congregation for Ishmael. That was the water of life. Right? Because you understand that children without water now, Ishmael will die. And so now this well of water, what is that? That is a means in the hands of the Lord that the Lord is going to extend the life of this young man. And that he is going to fulfill the promise that he had spoken unto Hagar long ago already, and now once again in her distress. Hagar does not deserve that. Ishmael does not deserve that either. And yet the Lord did it. Congregation, did the Lord ever humble you? Did the Lord ever bring you in the dust of self-abasement? Maybe with some sickness. Maybe with some disease. Maybe with some accident. Or maybe with some trouble in your business. Some trouble in your home. Did the Lord ever make you to cry? Did he ever make your voice to ascend to heaven? In all of your distress, or when you have felt that you were not able to deliver yourself, when you have felt your weakness, when you have felt your helplessness, did the Lord hear your cry? Did the Lord give to you an answer so that you marveled? And you say, the wonder of the Lord, what he has done, that you have said to other persons, the Lord is so good to me. So did also Hagar. Who did not fear God. Neither did her son. Thus that woman and that boy have received very, very great blessings. The congregation, all those blessings that they received were just natural. Oh, do you feel how empty that this is? What was the promise that he made to Hagar concerning Ishmael? I will make him a great nation. And then it stops. And then it stops. That is all that there is. Do you ever feel how empty that this is? You say, is that not a great blessing? Oh, it sure is. It is a very great blessing. But congregation, it is carnal. It only has to do with this world. When the Lord appeared to Abraham, then the Lord said the same. He says, I will make of thee a great nation. But the Lord did not stop there. No, he says, in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of this world be blessed. Ishmael was circumcised. God had dealings with Ishmael. God had dealings with his mother Hagar. It's possible in our life. That's possible in our life. Oh, if Hagar could speak today, then what could she say about her life? Oh, she could say, you know, God so humbled me. God brought me so low. In my pride, and when I had lifted up myself, and then he brought me to the impossibility, and he made my cry go up to heaven, and he heard my cry, and he answered me in my distress. What would you say to that? Or maybe you say, if you had that in a book, you say, you should read this book. You should read that book. Read what happened to that woman. What happened in her life. You say, that must be a child of God. Look at all the dealings. And how the Lord has led her. Is that not now the way that the Lord is leading all of his people? And your congregation, it missed the most important thing. You have books you read, young people. And then maybe sometimes you read a story, right? It's a beautiful story. This person, that person, the deliverances that a person has, providential things. Here it goes even further. And just providential is a promise that is from God himself. And now I want you to look, young people, and discern and search and ask yourself a few questions when you read books like that. What was it about? What was the trouble What was the need? Is that the same need that everybody has in this world? We don't want to die. We don't want to suffer. Or is there now something more than that? Oh, let us not deceive our own souls with sentimentalism, with the wonderful dealings that the Lord can have with a person in a special way that are in the visible church, because the Lord has his eye especially upon that visible church, most especially, of course, on his own people. But still there are privileges that the Lord is giving unto that church that in an outward way may profess his name. What was missing? You know what, young people? Can you have a little bit of a discerning ear? What is missing? Repentance. Repentance. That is now missing. It's altogether missing in the life of Hagar. It's altogether missing in the life of Ishmael. No matter all the dealings, no matter all the wonders, all those dealings, all those wonders will only testify against a man when there is no repentance. Hagar and Ishmael suffered because of their own fault. We all do. But there was not the least pang. There was not the least sorrow that was living in their heart. Yes, it became impossible. Yes, we needed to become impossible. But what is the matter? What is the substance of that impossibility? And what is now the promise? Is it enough for us that we will become a great nation? Is it enough for us that we will receive some kind of glory in this world, in our posterity? Is that enough for us? Then we miss everything. Everything. And the water was spent in the bottle. You know what David said? He said, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. All the desire, the new desire of that new life, what is it about? It is about reconciliation. David says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? All that was foreign to Hagar and to Ishmael. They are spiritual desires. They are hungering and they are panting after that which is beyond, that is much more than this life. Oh, when that publican did smite upon his breast, then the water was spent in his bottle. And he smote upon his breast. He had only one thing left. He cried unto God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He heard of that thief. Oh, when He cried, "Lord, remember me." All the water was spent in his bottle. All there was no making it good again. Between God and his soul, but his confession was, "We indeed justly, because we receive the due reward of our deeds." There you have it. There you have the substance. That is what needs to be repented of. That is what needs to be mourned. And now when the Lord is opening those eyes to such ones, then he shows them that there is a well of water, or it is a well, congregation, of living water over your eyes, ever now opened to that well of living water. Christ, he is for that people such a hidden person. You say he's revealed in the Word of God. Oh, that's right. That well that just stood there. It just stood there. But they couldn't see it. Was hid from their eyes. Is that so in the church of God? Oh, let Bunyan explain it to us. Do you see yonder wicked gate? No. No. That is the reality. That is now the life of that hungering and that thirsting people after God. Do you know that way? And when the Lord is now opening the eyes of that people, oh, what do we read? Ah, we read, Solomon says, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills." Oh, then that well that is opened unto them, the Lord says, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground." Oh, that dry ground that will become a pool of water. Oh, that thirsty land that is going to become springs of water. That is now the well. That is now the fountain that is opened unto that people that is hungering and thirsting after him. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. That was for Hagar. That was now for Ishmael. That was now that they could live a little longer. Live a little longer. And then the blessings, they're all done. But now if God takes care for sparrows, and if God takes care even for such, will he not take care for you? All you of little faith. You who say, "My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Oh, on that last day of the feast. Oh, then the Lord Jesus, we read, he stood and then he cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, whose water is spent in the bottle." Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou keep us from deceiving ourselves because we have a deceitful heart? And if thou preventest not, we work out our own destruction and we come before thy throne saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us. And to hear only depart from me." Oh, give us, Lord, true repentance. Give us to know what our sins are. Give us that true desire after thee, the true and the living God. Oh, that thy law may have a place in our heart, and that thy word, which thou hast spoken concerning thy dear Son, may become so precious and necessary and suitable also unto us, that he may be unto us a fountain of life, and that we may drink thereof forever. Bring us safely home. Watch over us in this week. Keep each one in the labors assigned to us by Thee. And give us to use our talents as Thou hast given them unto us. Care for all those that are cared for by others. And Thou knowest the handicapped. Thou knowest the sick. Thou knowest the weak. And care for all that help them. Bring us together also in later in this week when we may commemorate the suffering and the death of Thy only begotten Son. Give us a place for Thy holy word. Forgive all that is amiss for Jesus' sake. Amen. 116. As pants the heart for cooling streams when heated in the chase, so longs my soul, O God, for Thee and Thy refreshing grace. 1-4 of Psalter 116. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.